What do we say about Scotland? Well, most of their music is derived from the English character. But here is one that is a lullaby that is just too nice to pass by.
This day to you is born a child of Mary meek, the Virgin mild, that blessed bairn, so loving and kind, shall
The Welsh are famous for their ability to make music. You've seen the Welsh choirs, and maybe you've watched them in movies as they perform. It seems that all the Welsh can sing. Well, here is one that really just does them justice. Deck the Hall with Boughs of Holly, Welsh. And now let's cross over a short span of water and come to Ireland. Dear Ireland, we gathered up all the young members of our family we could 19 years ago, right about now, and we spent a wonderful Christmas at our old house called Liscrona House out on the banks of the Shannon River in the west of Ireland in County Clare. What a great time it was. We cut our own tree, made our own ornaments, limited each one there to buying a gift at no more than $5. And on that subject, I would say this: the Irish look at Christmas much more as a religious time than we do, and are sometimes horrified at our seeming excesses, not only on Christmas, but on other occasions too, like St. Patrick's Day. But it was a wonderful time. You can still hear the Gaelic if you look for it. You can still find the old traditions. The Wren boys still come around. The music is still very, very much a part of Dear Ireland.
Oh,
Here's one of the songs that I really do enjoy because, you don't hear too many Christmas songs that deal with Joseph. Joseph seems to be more or less ignored. And yet, look what he was asked to do. In a culture where, let's face it, a pregnant woman out of wedlock was not acceptable, Joseph took on the job and, so far as we know, didn't complain and became a loyal and trusting husband and father. So, being a male, I feel that Joseph has been slightly ignored. So that's why I picked a good song about him.
And berries hanging from a tree.
There were cherries and berries hanging from a tree.
Up then spoke Mary, so meek and so mild, saying, Joseph, pluck some cherries, for I am with child.
Saying, Joseph, pluck some cherries, for I am with child. Father of your baby, pick cherries for thee. Then out spoke baby Jesus from his mother's womb. Mary shall have cherries and Joseph shall have none. Mary shall have cherries and Joseph shall have none.
The Shanachie, it's a Gaelic term for the storyteller, was a very important part of the old Irish days. In a time when there was no electricity, when you had a little sod fire, which didn't turn out much heat, very little light, in the evening what to do? To sit around and either sing songs or tell stories. And the Shanachie told the stories. There aren't many of them left, but oh, they are great.
Happy Christmas. Nollig fe washe eve gulair. On Christmas Eve, when I was young, the way we look forward to twilight, for when darkness fell, it was Christmas night, the greatest night of all the year. We young lads would be up at the crack of dawn that morning to have the house ready for the night. Berry holly would have to be cut and brought in to deck out the windows, the top of the dresser, along the back of the settle and the clevy. We'd bring in ivy too, and put a sprig of laurel behind the pictures above the lintel of the door and around the fireplace. But we wouldn't overdo it, or if we did, my mother would make us cut it down a bit, reminding us that she'd like to feel that she was in her own house for Christmas and not in the middle of a wood. Well, the transformation we could bring about in the kitchen with all that greenery. But we weren't finished yet. The Christmas candles would have to be prepared. These candles were of white tallow, as thick as the handle of a spade and nearly as tall. In some houses, they'd scoop out a hole in a big turnip and they'd put the candle sitting into that. A big crock we'd use, we'd put the candle standing into it, and then we'd pack it around with sand. And when the candle was firm in position, we'd spike sprigs of holly or laurel into the sand about the candle. And we'd have coloured paper too to put around the outside of the crock to take the bare look off it. With that same coloured paper, the girls in the family, if they were anywhere handy, could make paper flowers to decorate the holly. Then what would cap it all is if you had a length of young ivy and spiral it up around the candle. It looked lovely. That done, we'd go through the same manoeuvre until there was a candle in a crock for every window in the house. Then we'd be praying for night to fall, for you couldn't see the right effect until the candles were lit. That honour of lighting the candles would fall to the youngest in the house. My father would lift him up, saying, "In Anamanahar, in the name of the Father and of the Son." And when the child had blessed himself, he would put the lighting spill to the candle. And from that candle, the other candles would be lit. And we'd be half daft with excitement, enjoying the great blaze of light. There was no electricity at that time. Running from the rooms to the kitchen and out into the yard to see what the effect was like from the outside. Then, when we'd get tired of looking at the candles on our own windows, we'd turn and try to name the neighbours' houses as the bunches of lights came on. Two windows here and three windows there, across the dark countryside and away up to the foot of the hills. And as sure as anything, someone would be late, and we'd rush into my mother saying, "Faithin, there's no light on yet in Kelly's." "Go down on your knees," my mother would say. Well, the time she'd pick for it, just as the salt ling was ready and the white onion sauce and the potato steaming over the fire. But I suppose there had been no religion in the world only for the women. The wives driving their husbands out to confession, up to the altar rails and down on their knees to say the rosary. My father, his mind 1,000 miles away, doing 11 Hail Marys to the decade and 12 Hail Marys to the decade. And my mother saying, "Glory, Ned," and he taking that for encouragement and doing 13 to the decade. The rosary in our house didn't end at 5 decades, not at all. After the Hail Holy Queen, my mother would branch into the trimmings. "Come, Holy Ghost, send down those beams which sweetly flow in silent streams." My mother would pray for everyone, in sickness and in need. She'd pray for the poor souls and the sinful soul that was at that very moment trembling before the judgment seat above. She'd pray for the sailor on the sea, protect him from the tempest and bring him safely home. She'd pray for the lone traveller on the highway, and of course she'd pray for our emigrants, and last of all she would pray for the members of her own family. God bless and save us all. St. Patrick, Bridget and Columbkill guard each wall. May the Queen of Heaven and the angels bright keep us in our house from all harm this night. Our knees would be aching as we got up off the floor. And it would take my father a while to get the prayer arch out of his back. Well, we wouldn't be sitting down to the supper when my mother had blessed herself again, a preliminary to grace before meals. And you could hardly blame my father for losing his patience. "Is it in a monastery we are?" he'd say. "Haven't we done enough praying for one night?" After the supper, there was Christmas cake for anyone with a sweet tooth. My father would never look at the Christmas cake. His eye would be on the big earthenware jar at the bottom of the kitchen, and it would be a great relief to him when my mother would say to us, "Go out there, one of you, and tell the neighbouring men to come in for a while." That was the custom that night, for near neighbours to visit each other's houses. In a while's time, the men had come, and at the first lag in the conversation, my father would take the cork off the jar, and he'd fill out drinks for everyone. And the men, you know, by the way, not noticing what was going on. And then when they'd get the glasses, very surprised, they'd say, "What's this? What's this for?" "Go on and take it," my father would say. "It is Christmas night and more luck to us." Then the men's faces would light up, and lifting their glasses high, they'd begin a chorus of, "Happy Christmas, Ned! Happy Christmas, everyone!" And the same to E-men, my father would answer. "May we all be alive again, this time 12 months." And my mother, who was never very happy in the presence of strong drink, would direct her gaze in the direction of the Christmas candle and say, "The grace of God to us all."
Isn't that beautiful? Isn't that absolutely gorgeous and so Irish? To all of you who have Irish roots, I can see the smile on the face right now. We have one, maybe two more Irish songs we want to do. But first, I need to tell you who we are. My name's Mal Bellairs. Rick is producing the program today. We both have the same feeling about Ireland, I can tell you. Have to include this one because Cúrú, Cúrú is a sound that you hear from the real birds in Ireland.
Full many a bird did wake and fly. Cúrú. Full many a bird did wake and fly to the manger bed with a wondering cry on Christmas Day in the morning. Cúrú, 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 cúrú. The lark, the dove, the redbird came. Cúrú, cúrú, cúrú. The lark, the dove, the redbird came, and he did sing in sweet Jesus' name on Christmas Day in the morning. The owl was there with eyes so wide. Cúrú, cúrú, cúrú. The owl was there with eyes so wide, and he did sit at sweet Mary's side on Christmas Day in the morning. The shepherds knelt upon the hay. Cúrú, cúrú, cúrú. The shepherds knelt upon the hay, and angels sang the night away on Christmas Day in the morning.
I could go on for an hour and a half just telling you stories about Christmas in Ireland and the millions of little lights across the Shannon River from the candles of the homes on the south side in County Kerry, and so forth and so on. It's a wonderful time of the year. It's crisp and cool. The firs are brilliant gold. The holly berries are out. And there is a very special feeling in Ireland.